title of the message that God has prepared for this Lord's Day is Life in the Spirit. Could you think about the title? Life in the Spirit. The other option is life without the Spirit. The greatest difference between a believer and non-believer is the Holy Spirit. I know I've been saying this, but this needs to be clarified. Because otherwise we could be very, very comfortably deceived in Christian walk. And let that not be comfortable with you, because if you do, then you're deceived. The greatest difference between those who are in Christ, who are a believer, true convert, followers of Christ, and the rest of the world, is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay, so is that true? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, if you could just listen to this, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. All those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And can I just ask you, is Spirit leading your life? Really a question. All those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. In other words, when your status changed from a slave to son, the huge change takes place. That is, Holy Spirit dwells in you and lives in you. That's Christian life, and that's Christianity, and that's the gospel that we want to emphasize. We're in the third and last section of Galatians Gospel, chapter 5. We were, believe it or not, finishing up chapter 5. And we basically learn over and over and over again, Christianity is about salvation by grace. It's not your works. It's God's work. Salvation is God's work. It's God's religion. Okay? Now we're talking about if you're truly regenerated, saved, converted, became a Christian, became a son, whatever the way you want to put it, what does that life look like? And basically we've been saying that the key word is freedom. Do you feel like you're in freedom? Over the years, I had a chance to minister to people who had severe addiction problems. Not that I'm an expert in that or not. I know someone told me, when you're addicted to narcotics, okay, heroin and things like that, this person said, all you think about is that. How am I going to feed myself when I'm about to lose my effect of the heroin? My next dose needs to be in 6 hours. Do I have enough? And I have enough, I guess, you know, drugs, narcotics here for 2 days. Now, where am I going to get on the third day or fourth day? Where's the money coming from? I only have $50, but it's going to take about $150. Where am I going to get $100? And this person was saying, that's all you think about. That's like the primary thing that is in your mind. How am I going to feed the desire, right, of my addiction? It's a powerful thing. Nothing else comes before that. Because you do not want to lose that, you know, the effect of the narcotics, I guess, or heroin, whatever. That's an addiction, and that's how people live. That's how you live unless God sets you free. And that is no exaggeration. Okay? Freedom is the key, and how do you live that in that freedom? You need to be in the Spirit. Spirit of God needs to live in you. John chapter 8, we've been sharing that Jesus made it very, very clear. The slavery of sin, slavery of narcotics, no, slavery of sin, much more potent, much more real, much more epidemic, pandemic, throughout history. No question about that, okay? That's the pandemic throughout history. Okay, so You were yoked with sin and death and devil. So you cannot help but to sin. And that's all you think about. What is my next dose? When am I going to get the money? Will I be caught? I don't want to be caught, so I want to make sure I want to buy from him in this location at night. That's all your mind is consumed with. Until Christ sets you free. Until Christ sets you free. Today we'll pick up from 2 weeks ago what it means to live in the life of a Christian freedom. That's living in the Spirit, and we talked about it, 3 points. First point, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. The life of freedom is to live not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We talked about that. Two very, very different kind of life. If you're living in the flesh, you're just like that addict. Whatever the flesh desires and plans, and you have to follow that. It's a strong desire, strong passion, epithumia. I'm going to explain that. The life of the freedom, of Christian is to love others and serve others. Do you think about that? Just asking. Not just once in a while, give here and there. Do you think about others? Do you think about loving others and serving others? And thirdly, instead of giving up on the law and don't want to fulfill the law, you desire to honor the law and fulfill the law. Now you can. Okay? Honor your mother and father. You know, that's one of the Ten Commandments. And we know, we kind of know we have to do it, but we can't. Because we can't. But now, once the Holy Spirit lives in you, he gives you that desire and the power for you to do it. Okay, that's the plan for today. So today's text, I'm picking up from the second one, the life of freedom in Christ is to serve others in love. And the life of unbeliever before you come to Christ, before you actually are rebirthed, regenerated, you are living in the flesh. Let me just explain something. You know, when I was in dental school, you know, this thought came to my mind this morning, actually, as I was preparing for this worship service. When I was in dental school, there aren't a whole lot of subjects that I liked, but I liked pharmacology. I don't know why, you know. Pharmacology was one of my favorite subjects, and I took it in 1986. So you do the math, okay? 1986. So I probably forgot everything. But I remember enjoying it because it has to do with your body and how it functions and how it relates each organs, not only on a, you know, organic level, but on a cellular level, right? How a body interacts, connects, gap junctions and ADH, a few things I remember. You know, but all these things and how body really functions. But pharmacology has to do with not functioning body, but not malfunctioning body. That's why you need the medication from the outside that needs to be administered into your body. And once the medication goes into your bloodstream and how it affects, interacts, where it interacts, and how it helps and how it intoxicates. Right? And that kind of stuff. And it really fascinated me. The reason I'm explaining this is Christian life is something like that. It's not that difficult as pharmacology. I'm going to explain it today. And I want you to listen. And I hope this is clear. Because a lot of times, Christians in their mind is not clear for one reason or another. Perhaps you don't want it to be clear. Perhaps it is not taught clearly from the churches. But in the scripture, it is very, very clear. Before you come to Christ, you have a one nature. That's your flesh. Flesh refers to your fallen, sinful nature. That's your DNA. Every faculty of your being is corrupted by sin. Your mind, your emotion, and your interpretation, your plan, and your execution, your desire, everything is affected and tainted by sin. If left alone, you will surely die. That's what the scripture says. It's worse than fourth stage cancer. It really is, actually. It's worse than fourth stage pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, the cancer that my father passed away with. I know how painful that is. Okay? It's worse than that. Sin nature. Your body is in sin nature without Christ and left alone. You're going to live like an addict and you're going to die forever. That's what the scripture states. Now you need medication, right? You need something to help you. So that's where we want to begin. That's your DNA. Every faculty of your being, your mind is like that. That's the only way you could hear it. That's the only way you could think. You always think about next dose. You always think about the money that's going to replenish that. You always think about how am I going to fulfill my deep desires of my flesh. That's all you think about. Sexual desires. Right? Being rich desire. Being comfortable desires. Okay? However, the great truth and the reality of Christian gospel is that when you come to faith in Christ, something supernatural happens. God comes into your life. Literally. Do you see the difference? It's not unclear. I hope this is not unclear. So before you became a Christian, you are under a slavery, which means someone is dominating, dominion over you. You cannot help but to sin because you're an addict. Because you're yoked with sin, death, and the devil. There's nothing you can do. You cannot help but to live like that. You're driven to that. You want to see the end of your desires. That's why people live like that. You know, I think about, I only illustrate heroin addiction to illustrate. I think that in reality it's even worse, actually. People that I know who are addicted to drugs are the most kind people, actually. They're simple people. A lot of times hurting people. Right? It's just an illustration, but you're living just like that. That's what the scripture is saying. However, the great truth and the reality is that when you become a Christian, when you truly regenerate it, something supernatural, divine happens. God gives you a new nature. So you not only have sin nature that has been set free, but you have a new nature, new heart. Does anybody know what is written on the wall as you walk into our church? Ezekiel 36, verse 26. God promised 600 years before Christ came, actually promised that, I'm going to give you a new heart. Brand new heart. I'm going to give you a new nature. The heart that pumps, right? His power, his blood, and it's going to give you a new desire, new affection. Do you see the difference? I hope you see the difference. Before you come to Christ, you have nothing but sin nature. But once you become Christian, you have a new nature, new heart. Spirit of God lives in you. Therefore, you have new desires, new affection. Now you could love God you hated before you became a Christian. Before you become a Christian, all you think about is, how am I going to get my next dose? It's about you. Sin, extremely selfish, extremely locked up, extremely, like, lost. You always think about your self-exaltation. You always think about your self-glorifying, your self-kingship, your self-lordship. That's all you think about. Your comfort, your money, you. That's the human condition. I'm trying to explain this in a pharmacological way. Until something happens, you're going to die like that. And you're going to die forever. Okay? So new affection, new desire, new power. Can I just ask you, before you become a Christian, you're in the dominion and slavery of Satan and sin. But once you became a Christian, you're in the dominion and, quote, slavery of God, righteousness of God. That's what the Romans says. We are slaves of righteousness. Our master loves us. Our master is God himself. Do you think we're always going to struggle for the rest of our days? That's not true. Let me explain something to you, because people think it's normal to struggle for like 10, 20, 30, 40 years and no desire and no affection for godly spiritual things. No, Bible does not say that. Let's make that very, very clear. Where do we begin? I want to begin with Ezekiel 36, which is in the Old Testament. Whether this is true or not, and I wish I could read the whole chapter, but for the time's sake, I'm just going to read a few verses. And the title, I'll Give You a New Heart, which is on our church wall, comes from Ezekiel 36. And this is the chapter that Lord gave to me when I was hoping to plant a church. Okay? Let me read it to you. 600 years before Christ came, God spoke through Ezekiel to prophesy to Israelites who are under the judgment of God in Babylon, in exile, and just living a horrible life. But this is the prophecy. Listen to this. I, God, will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into my own land. I'm going to do that. Verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and I'm going to cleanse you. Okay? All your uncleannesses and all your idols will cleanse you. Who's going to do that? God will do that. Verse 26, and I, God is still prophesying, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit, and I'm going to put within you. It's not tradition, it's not church going, something that happens inside. Okay? Internal divine transformation. That's what is being prophesied. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to soften your heart. I'm going to humble your heart. Okay? Verse 27. And I will put my spirit, here we go, spirit of God, within you. That has been prophesied 600 years ago, people. Don't listen to the lies. You become a Christian, spirit of God lives in you. Okay? I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk. Did you hear that? I love that phrase. I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes, in my rules. I'm going to make you obey. I'm going to make you love me. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to soften your heart. I'm going to cleanse you. And I'm going to cause you to walk. Do you hear it? I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to you and fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. What do you hear? The gospel of Jesus Christ, don't you? Absolutely. Do you remember Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again with water and the Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you look at this prophecy, I'm going to cleanse you with this clean water from all your uncleannesses, from all your idols. In other words, when God really calls you, he's going to clean you up. There is going to be repentance. You're going to hate sin. The new heart, new affection. Now you could love God, God that you despise, because you don't want God to be an offense to your kingship and your lordship. So you hate him before you become a Christian. Once God shows up, I have to give up my lordship. I cannot do it my own ways. But once you become a Christian, now you love him. You love the things that he loves. You hate the things that he hates. You want to do the things that he wants to do. You realize how much he has given to me and how much he loved me. Therefore, everything that I have, I want to use. I want to live for him. That's the Christian gospel, isn't it? That's the Christian gospel. Ezekiel 36 is a wonderful promise of God's salvation or the restoration of Israel from the judgment or the punishment in Babylon, but it was really fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Do you see it? Right? And then the first thing I noticed as I was reading this chapter over and over and over again over the years, but especially this week, I counted 9 times he said, I will, I will, I will, I will. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to gather you. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put my spirit in you. I am going to cause you to walk. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It's God's religion. It's the gospel. It's not you. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm going to cause you to love me. It's amazing, isn't it? And look at this sequence. Verse 24, I'm going to gather you. He's going to call you, right? That's why you're here. And then in verse 25, I'm going to cleanse you with clean water, the word of God and the spirit. I'm going to cleanse you. Your life will be cleansed. You're not going to live like addicts. Okay? I'm going to cleanse you. You're not going to be a sex addict. You're not going to be a money addict. You're not going to be a drug addict. It's going to set you free. And I'm going to give you a new heart. That new heart that pumps new blood of Christ in you, right? Really loves God. Now you love God instead of you hate God and you despise God and you don't want to have anything to do with God. Now you desire him. Now you want to live for him. That's Christianity, people. And I'm going to put my spirit in you. 600 years ago, people. And I'm going to cause you to walk, which means it's pretty passive. It's not that we don't do anything, but it's the Holy Spirit is in dominion of my life. Just like I've been driven to get drugs before Christ, and that's all I think about. That's all my plan and execution is about. But now I want to live for the glory of God. That's Christianity. And God's law, rules, and statutes, now I want to obey. I want to obey, and I want to honor my parents. I want to love my neighbors. You know, before you really, you're having your heart transformation, you cannot love anyone. You cannot even love your spouse truly and loyally. You can't. Look at the marriages. You can't. Because you are so self-centered. I'm talking about the pharmacology. There is something grossly wrong with a human being. And that cannot be fixed with your giving a little bit, joining Bible study here and there, or sometimes even agreeing with what the Bible says. It doesn't change anything. God needs to supernaturally change your heart and give you a new heart. Okay? I want to go to Romans chapter 8. I was going to explain that last, but I decided to change my mind. Romans chapter 8 is a little expansion of Galatians, today's text. And Romans chapter 8 is not a very unknown chapter, but it is probably one of the most highlighted chapters of the Bible. It's like the epitome of Romans gospel. Chapter 8, Paul is on the mountaintop telling the world, if God is for me, who can be against me? There is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there is nothing that will be able to separate me from the love of Christ that is in me. He's on the top of the world. And what is he talking about? Living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit. Okay? I wish I could, and we did that actually in our Bible study. So it's been recorded, and I encourage you to listen if you want to further study this, but I'm going to read a little section of it, okay? There's something that I want to tell you, the mechanism, the interaction, pharmacology of spiritual pharmacology, if you will. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh, meaning before you become a Christian, set their minds on things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, Christians, set their minds on things of the Spirit. Now, that's a stupid sentence. But I think that's one of the most important sentences in Christian dynamic, Christian pharmacological, spiritual pharmacology. Those who are in the flesh always think about what is in the flesh. Those who are in the spirit set their minds on things of the spirit. Can I pause? Can I ask you, what do you think about? What do you have your mind set on? I really mean it. Do you think about next dose? Where am I going to get the money? How I'm going to make sure I don't get caught? Set your mind on things of the flesh. You know, we actually had this Bible study on Friday, and I asked the people, and please don't get offended. I think it's true for all of us. I said, what are some things that mind that is set on flesh think about? And then there was a silence just like this. And then one by one, they spoke up, and which I really appreciated. Someone said, I want to make sure I'm comfortable. I want to make sure I'm comfortable. What does that sound like? Does that sound like, wow, that person is really set his mind on the spirit? What does that mean? I want to make sure I'm comfortable. I'm not sure whether I am, but I want to make sure I'm concerned and worried, and I want to make sure I have enough of things so that I don't have to worry about anything. Doesn't sound like trusting. Doesn't sound like something for someone else. It's just self, right? Someone else said, someone else, I didn't expect him to say, but he said, think about making more money. Money, period, money. I want to make sure I want to make more money. That is what my mind is set on. Do I have enough money? Do I have enough money to pay the bills and live and eat fairly well and save so that I could buy a house? Okay. Someone said, my mind is set on my future. What future? Can I just ask you, what about if your mind is set on the Spirit, if your mind is set on the Spirit, what would you be thinking about? Let me give you some ideas. Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. Your mind would be set on, how am I going to really honor Christ? How am I going to shine Christ at work? How I am going to be true and loyal to my wife? How I am going to really love and honor my parents. How I am going to, wow, look out after those who are really hurting near me. Do you see the difference? People who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. And I'm asking you, what do you think about? What's your mindset on? Let me explain something. The word set their mind, in English, three different words, but in Greek it's one word. Okay, and when we were going through Romans years ago, I explained this, which I think this is so important, so I want to explain this. The word set their mind, phreneo, and it means tendency or inclination. And here's the key word, bent, okay? This is what it means. Whatever is shown at you, because your bent is like that, that's the way you're going to think it. That's the way you're going to receive it. That's the way you're going to interpret it. That's the way you're going to feel it. That's the way you want to live it. And that's the way you're going to execute it. And that's the way you're going to do it, because that's your bent. That's your sin nature. That's your sin bent, to exalt you and hate God. That's your bent. Pharmacology. So we need some strong medicine here, don't we? Don't you think? That's your bent. But when God gives you new heart, your bent changes. That's the way you're going to see it. That's the way you're going to think it. That's the way you're going to receive it. That's the way you're going to feel it. That's the way you're going to plan it. That's the way you're going to live it. And that's the way you're going to execute it. And that's the way you're going to finish it. Your bent changes. Small change? Absolutely not, people. Absolutely not. Those who live according to the flesh, bent on things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, bent on things of the Spirit. Let me ask you, what is your bent? This is not unclear, is it? This is not unclear. It really is not unclear. I want to make sure not to offend you in any way. I share this to invite you, just like Jesus inviting you. Come, all you weary and heavy burdened. I'll give you rest. If you are seeking after next dose, where am I going to get the money all the time? That's such a tiring life, isn't it? What if you don't get the next dose? What if you don't get the money? What if you get caught? You're always anxious. You're always worried. You're always in darkness. You're always hiding. You always cannot be honest to anyone. That's a horrible life. And Jesus is inviting you. Come, all you weary and heavy burdened. I'm going to give you rest. My heart is gentle and humble. And take my yoke upon you. Walk with me, and I'll give you rest. That's why I'm sharing this. Okay? Two distinctive lifestyle of humanity set their minds on things of the flesh, like the drug addicts. I know that's an extreme example, but it's no exaggeration, though. Or set their mind things of the Spirit. When God gives you a new heart, gives you spirit, that's the way you're going to interpret it. When good things happen, wow, Lord is so good to me. When something bad happens, wow, Lord will give me strength. I'll be able to persevere it. Wow. And check myself. What am I doing wrong? Am I living in sin before the Lord? Because that's your bent. You always interpret things through the Spirit. You always plan things through the Spirit. You always desire things through the Spirit. You always want to execute things and live for the Spirit. That's your bent. But before you come to Christ, your bent is always the other way. Always. How am I going to get best out of this? What's there for me? One of the things that I hate when people say is, what I get out of this thing? Always self-centered. Right? I hope we don't talk like that. We don't think like that. But you cannot help but to think like that. I want to go to today's text. Okay? And I'm just going to explain a couple verses, okay? Verse 16. If I say, walk by the Spirit. In other words, if you are living in the Spirit, it's walking. Walking means every step. Not retreat to retreat, Sunday to Sunday, or yearly thing, but it's every day. He lives in you, right? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires, the passion. I want to get the next dose, right? The desires of the flesh. Can I just ask you, when you look at verse 16, I'm not going to ask Jaden, which words kind of sticks out? Jaden will probably say everything. Yeah. Good answer. I would say, I want to explain two words, desires and gratify. Pretty powerful words, right? When I say walk, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, okay? Before you come to Christ, you have your sin nature, okay? Sin nature, and sin nature has desires. And the word desires is epithumia. Sounds pretty strong, right? Epithumia. What English word comes to your mind when you hear that word? Thermal. It's the desire that is boiling inside of you. Like, oh, I gotta get that next dose. No matter what, I gotta get that next dose. That's the goal of my life. Epithumia. Okay? From your flesh. It's a powerful, deep, longing desire. Powerful. And all people living in flesh, we have that. I gotta get that. It's the epithumia. And then there is a desire of the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? God. God's desire. God's epithumia. God's boiling deep desires of God. What would that be? You think about it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. That sounds like epithumia to me. That's what your mind will begin to be filled with. How am I going to live this life? Not like an addict, but live for what really matters. Eternal things that Pastor June talked about last Sunday. You know, last week's message was great, but it will not make any sense until you come to Christ. It will not make any sense. Right? Epithumia is dead. What about the word gratify? Word gratify, the word is teleo. Sounds like telos, the end, which means to accomplish, to get it. And I want to get it. That's my end. In other words, your desire wants to teleo. You want to get it. You want to accomplish. You want to. That powerful desire. If you're in the flesh, that's what you're living for. Just like that addict. I want to get next dose, and then the next dose, and I want to make sure I have enough money. I want to make sure I have enough money on drugs on Thursday. I want to have enough, and I want to be comfortable. That's it. Okay? That's what Scripture is saying. So what can we do? Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, but without you come to Christ, you don't have the Spirit. Without you come to Christ, you have nothing but the dominion of sin in your life. That's worse than fourth stage cancer. And here is the dynamic, pharmacology, spiritual pharmacology. Verse 17, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Don't you love that? Right? The epithumia of the flesh is against the epithumia of the Spirit, and epithumia of the Spirit is against the flesh. They're opposing each other. They're contrary to one another. Right? Therefore, for those people, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Do you hear me? I want to explain to Christians, because this is what the Bible is describing. Now you have new nature, new heart, new spirit, your desire and love for the Lord, and then there are flesh that has been set free from the slavery of sin, and it's not just hanging loose, but that has been crucified. So it's not like two dogs, and whatever you feed more, it's going to dominate. It's not like that. One is God, Holy Spirit, and the other is something that had been crushed. Okay? So what do we do with that flesh? Verse 24. Okay? For those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passion and desires. Okay? That's the Christian life. If you are in Christ, you have already crucified your flesh. I don't want to live in sin, and I want to turn, and I want to be crucified with Christ so that I could follow Christ. You repented. If you continue to live in sin, you need to come to Christ. Okay? But what I want to explain here is, for those who belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified. Can I just ask you, for those of you who are English major, what is the verb tense of crucified here? Have crucified. Present perfect. Okay, present perfect. In the original language, it is aorist. Simply means this. It has happened at a certain point of time. It definitely happened. You repented. You have been crucified your sin, your sinful desire, your flesh. You have repented. And it continues. That's what it means. That's the Christian life. Okay? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Can I just remind you? Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, you must deny yourself. Deny what? Sounds like the flesh. Epithumias of the flesh. You must deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Luke version, right? Take up your cross daily. What's the purpose of the cross? Just to take it up? No, it's not. The cross in first century is the way of capital punishment for the Roman Empire, Roman government. And not nice people, but terrible people, terrible criminals, and who rebels against the Roman government. In other words, crucifixion, taking up the cross, is not for the sake of your carrying, but for you to kill something, crucify something. Kill what? Your flesh, your sinful epithumias. That's Christian life, people. I'm explaining pharmacologically. People think, oh, whatever, we're supposed to struggle, supposed to be all hazy and messy. No, it's not. It really is not, people. I have been crucified, right? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passion and desires. That's what it means to wit, what it means to walk in the Spirit. I ask you to listen to Friday night's teaching because you need to explore this. Can I ask you again? What is your mindset on Monday through Saturday? Those who belong to live according to the flesh set their mind things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. Those who set their minds on things of the flesh, it'll bring death. Verse 8 says, and those who put their minds on the Spirit, it'll be life and peace. It'll surely kill you. Keep taking those doses. Keep getting money to get drugs. Keep just feeding your flesh. It'll surely kill you. That's what the scripture is teaching. Let me finish. Okay. Just a couple of thoughts. John Stott shares, God sent his son for our salvation and justification. And God sent his Spirit within us for our sanctification and to become like Jesus. Do you hear that? God sent his son into the world for our salvation and justification. And God sent his Spirit for our sanctification so that we could walk with Christ and follow Christ. So it is God's Trinitarian work. God is doing all the sending, and Jesus came into the world, and Holy Spirit came into your heart. That's Christian gospel, people. So you need Jesus to be alive and be saved, and you need the Holy Spirit to stay alive and to live your Christian life. You need Jesus. You need Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you need to come to Christ. Okay? Friends, this, I shared this in the beginning, but this is not to turn you away, to corner you and make you doubt anything like that, but to invite you to come to Christ. Okay? Come to Christ. He said, come all you weary and heavy burdened. I'm going to give you rest. You're living in slavery of narcotics. You're always thinking about next dose. You're always thinking about next money. You always think about when I'm going to run out. You always think about I have enough. You always think about that. Aren't you tired of that? Come to me, Jesus said. I'm going to give you rest. My heart is gentle and humble, he said. and take my yoke upon you and walk with me. He's inviting you, people. Let's pray.